First Kings chapter 7. We are going to start from verse 1.
But Solomon was building his own house 13 years, and he finished all his house. He built also the house of the forest of Lebanon. The length thereof was 100 cubits, and the breadth thereof 50 cubits, and the height thereof 30 cubits, upon four rows of cedar pillars, with cedar beams upon the pillars.
Now here we read that Solomon, now he start building his house. Thank God he built the house of God first. And we learned last time 30,000 people were working, and they finished that house of God within 7 years. But he says to build his house, it took 13 years. But he built the house bigger than the temple, and we will be reading lots of work he has done in this house. So we are going to just listen, because there are so many small little things in the building we'll be talking about later on. So let's read and we will listen. From verse 3.
And it was covered with cedar above upon the beams that lay on 45 pillars, 15 in a row. And there were windows in three rows, and light was against light in three ranks. And all the doors and posts were square with the windows, and light was against light in three ranks. And he made a porch of pillars, the length thereof was 50 cubits, and the breadth thereof 30 cubits, and the porch was before them, and the other pillars and the thick beam were before them. Then he made a porch for the throne where he might judge, even the porch of judgment, and it was covered with cedar from one side of the floor to the other. And his house where he dwelt had another court within the porch, which was of the like work. Solomon made also an house for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had taken to wife, like unto this porch. All these were of costly stones, according to the measures of hewed stones, sawed with saws within and without, even from the foundation unto the coping, and so on the outside toward the great courts. And the foundation was of costly stones, even great stones, stones of 10 cubits, and stones of 8 cubits. And above were costly stones, after the measures of hewed stones and cedars. And the great court round about was with three rows of hewed stones, and a row of cedar beams, both for the inner court of the house of the Lord, and for the porch of the house. And King Solomon sent and fetched Hiram out of Tyre. He was a widow's son of the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in brass, and he was filled with wisdom and understanding and cunning to work all works in brass. And he came to King Solomon and wrought all his work. For he cast 2 pillars of brass, of 18 cubits high apiece, and a line of 12 cubits did compass either of them about. And he made 2 chapiters of molten brass to set upon the tops of the pillars. The height of the one chapter was 5 cubits, and the height of the other chapter was 5 cubits. And nets of checkerwork, and wreaths of chainwork, for the chapters which were upon the top of the pillars, 7 for the one chapter, and 7 for the other chapter. And he made the pillars in 2 rows round about upon the one network to cover the chapters that were upon the top with pomegranates, and so did he for the other chapter. And the chapters that were upon the top of the pillars were of lily work, and the porch 4 cubits. And the chapters upon the 2 pillars had pomegranates also above, over against the belly which was by the network. And the pomegranates were 200 in rows round about upon the other chapter. And he set up the pillars in the porch of the temple. And he set up the right pillar, and called the name thereof Jachin. And he set up the left pillar, and called the name thereof Boaz. And upon the top of the pillars was lily work, so was the work of the pillars finished. And he made a molten sea 10 cubits from the one brim to the other. It was round all about, and his height was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits did compass it round about. And under the brim of it round about there were knops compassing it, 10 and a cubit, compassing the sea round about. The knops were cast in 2 rows when it was cast. It stood upon 12 oxen, 3 looking toward the north, and 3 looking toward the west, and 3 looking toward the south, and 3 looking toward the east. And the sea was set above upon them, and all their hinder parts were inward. And it was an handbreadth thick, and the brim thereof was wrought like the brim of a cup, with flowers of lilies. It contained 2,000 baths. And he made 10 bases of brass, 4 cubits was the length of 1 base, and 4 cubits the breadth thereof, and 3 cubits the height of it. And the work of the bases was on this manner. They had borders, and the borders were between the ledges. And on the borders that were between the ledges were lions, oxen, and cherubims. And upon the ledges there was a base above, and beneath the lions and oxen were certain additions made of thin work. And every base had four brazen wheels and plates of brass, and the four corners thereof had undersetters. Under the laver were undersetters molten at the side of every addition. And the mouth of it within the chapter and above was a cubit, but the mouth thereof was round after the work of the base, a cubit and a half. And also upon the mouth of it were gravings with their borders four square, not round. And under the borders were four wheels, and the axle trees of the wheels were joined to the base, and the height of a wheel was a cubit and half a cubit. And the work of the wheels was like the work of a chariot wheel. Their axle trees, and their naves, and their fellows, and their spokes, were all molten. And there were four undersetters to the four corners of one base, and the undersetters were of the very base itself. And in the top of the base was there a round compass of half a cubit high, and on the top of the base the ledges thereof and the borders thereof were of the same. For on the plates of the ledges thereof and on the borders thereof he graved cherubims, lions, and palm trees, according to the proportion of every one, and additions round about. After this manner he made the 10 bases, all of them had one casting, one measure, and one size. Then made he 10 lavers of brass, one laver contained 40 baths, and every laver was 4 cubits, and upon every one of the 10 bases one laver. And he put 5 bases on the right side of the house, and 5 on the left side of the house, and he set the sea on the right side of the house eastward over against the south. And Hiram made the lavers and the shovels and the basins. So Hiram made an end of doing all the work that he made King Solomon for the house of the Lord. The 2 pillars and the 2 bowls of the chapiters that were on the top of the 2 pillars and the 2 networks to cover the 2 bowls of the chapiters which were upon the top of the pillars. And 400 pomegranates for the 2 networks, even 2 rows of pomegranates for 1 network to cover the 2 bowls of the chapiters that were upon the pillars. And the 10 bases and 10 lavers on the bases. And 1 sea and 12 oxen under the sea, and the pots and the shovels and the basins and all these vessels which Hiram made to King Solomon for the house of the Lord were of bright brass. In the plain of Jordan did the king cast them, in the clay ground between Succoth and Zarthan. And Solomon left all the vessels unweighed, because they were exceeding many, neither was the weight of the brass found out. And Solomon made all the vessels that pertained unto the house of the Lord, the altar of gold and the table of gold, whereupon the showbread was. And the candlesticks of pure gold, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left, before the oracle with the flowers, and the lamps and the tongs of gold. And the bowls and the snuffers and the basins and the spoons and the censers of pure gold and the hinges of gold, both for the doors of the inner house, the most holy place, and for the doors of the house, to wit, of the temple. So was ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord, and Solomon brought in the things which David his father had dedicated, even the silver and the gold and the vessels did he put among the treasures of the house of the Lord.
Okay, here the chapter finishes. But let's see, first of all, what Solomon did. He built the house of God. And in this chapter, in the ending of the chapter, he is finishing inside the things, because last time he did not say what are the things he built for the insides. In the beginning, he just married one Pharaoh's daughter, and he built the house for her separate. I don't think by every wife he had, he built the house for them, because you will be thinking hundreds and hundreds of wives, he has to build a whole city for them. But this lady, he built the house, and somebody will say, why in the world he built the house for the Pharaoh's daughter only? Because Pharaoh gave his daughter, and he gave a lot of dowry and lot of land. So to please the Pharaoh, maybe he built the house for her. Even the Solomon built the house for the lady and made her a very beautiful queen, but she was no help to him in the time of need. And then we see about the temple. This time is given a little bit more detail about the temple. Now, this temple, they had, first of all, he built everything, but on the front of the temple, he had a big 2 giant pillars. And those pillars were like 27 feet high. And on the top of those pillars, he put the capping, like you have the fence, and you put the fence and then you put the capping. That capping was like 7.5 feet tall. So the both pillar both sides. Now in this both pillar and the capping, he put all the golden chains and some decorated chains, and everything, decoration was gold, but the pillar was were brass. He named the south pillar Jachin, and the north pillar he said Boaz. Now the Jachin means is he will establish, and Boaz means in his strength. So now we see two pillars are standing there, and before you enter you can see those pillars. And God is trying to say, God is going to establish and God is going to strengthen. Even that they put those pillars and put those writing, I don't think they understood why it was written and what is what. But we believe that all this temple, all this tabernacle represents Christ. Each and everything we see in tabernacle as well as in the temple represents Christ. Christ is the only one came here to strengthen us, establish us in the kingdom of God. Without Jesus Christ, we won't be able to enter into the kingdom of God. And so here we see, then they had the big water container called a sea. It was so big, it was able to hold the water 11,000 gallons. So you can see how big it is. It was big in circle, and they kept this container in the southeast corner of the temple. Then he built almost 10 carts. They all squared on the top, and then he put the circle and put the water there. That also was able to hold 250 gallon water. And he made like a, almost like a cart, four wheels, four corners, four wheels, and four axles and four corners, and then they had the four handles. And those carts, I don't know, doesn't say what those carts were doing. Maybe those carts were bringing the water when the water is finished, and then they put it there. But there were five in the south side and five in the north side. Outside we see the water there, and then under the sea they had 12 bulls. The water is on them and they're holding this water. And those 12 bulls, they are like east, west, north and south. And they're looking outside and carrying the weight. Now, the sea, think about the sea represent the water when this Israeli people came out of the sea. And that represents for the water baptism. But these people were washing not only priests, but they were washing all the animals before they can sacrifice them. So this is all for purification. These bulls, all 12 bulls, the bull represents the Christ ministry. You know, we have four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew represents like that Jesus Christ is a king. Mark represents Jesus Christ as a servant. Luke represents Jesus Christ as the man. And John represents Jesus Christ is a heavenly God. So the point I'm making, these bulls represents Christ's ministry, but now here there are 12. Now Jesus Christ has 12 apostles. He had many other disciples. If you remember, Matthew tells about the choosing the 12 apostles. Luke chapter 10 tells about 70 more disciples. But many people do not know what happened to those 70 disciples. Only we see 12 disciples. But if you read in St. John chapter 6, when Jesus Christ was preaching, and he said, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. So all these 70 disciples, they said, this is too hard for us. And the word of God says they walked away and they never walked with Christ again. That means they backslidden for permanently. They never came back to Christ. That's what the Word of God is saying. In the last days they will say, I did in your name signs and wonders and miracles. He will say, I never knew you. And he cast them out. The point I'm making, why this is only 12. Now 12 represents all the 12 apostles. And they are also taking burden, and they represent the servants of God. But the people might be thinking in the heaven, there might be only 12 thrones or something, but there are many thrones. And Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, he will be in the right hand of the Father, and in his right hands we will be sitting. So now this will be just like a changing of the guards. You remember Zechariah, they put the lots, and then his number came. That was like a once in a lifetime their number will come. That means there were so many priests and so many prophets. The same thing is going to happen. We will be millions and millions of ministers, but they will be, you know, every day will be different ministers will be sitting and serving the Lord. So here, the water represents for the water baptism, the bull represents the ministry, and inside they were most holy place, and the outer court, means outer place. We already read other day, the holy place was like 30 by 30 and 30 high, and the holy place was 60 by 30, and then the 30 by 15 was outside where the brazen altar was there. So now here in the tabernacle, they had only one table and they had only one lamp. But here we see 10 tables and maybe 10 lamps, and in a most holy place they will have a couple of lamps. And so this is in a big scale. So the priests were serving in that temple. But in the millennium, as I said, not only 12, but many ministers will be working. But some people have some different kind of teaching. If you remember, in heaven, when the throne of God is, 24 elders are sitting on those thrones, and what they're doing, they are taking their golden crown and putting on the floor, and they are bowing down and worshiping God. So I heard many preachers tells you those 24 elders represents 12 Old Testament ministers and 12 New Testament ministers. But I disagree, because if you read very carefully, those elders, one of the elders asked the John, when these people came from the tribulation, he said, do you know where they're coming from? He said, I don't know. Then he explains. So that means John and those elders have different duties. They are not the same, because those are angels, and those angels are praising God and glorifying God and saying holy, holy unto God all the time. So those 24, they are angels, they are not ministers, because ministers will be always with Christ. The temple will be there, and the Jerusalem throne will be there. They will be always two different places, not one place. All the ministers will be with Christ all the time. If you read in the Book of Revelation chapter 7 and Book of Revelation chapter 14. Now there we read 144,000 are chosen ministers, and they were sealed. Many scholars will tell you Revelation chapter 7, 144,000, and Revelation chapter 14, 144,000, they are the same. But they are not the same. Why? Because 144,000 on chapter 7, they were chosen from Israeli nations, from each tribe. And they were there in the tribulation. And the word of God says, God said to Satan, don't touch them, don't kill them, don't do any harm to them. So they will be there. But the time of last 3.5 years, they will be taken to the separate place. Now people are saying it's a Petra, but they will be gone there by plane and they will be there safe 3.5 years. But all other Jewish people will be in the tribulation and many of them will be killed. There are 144,000. Where are they? They are on the Mount Zion. That Mount Zion is in heaven. And they are in heaven and they are following wherever Christ goes. And if you read about their description, who are they? They are chosen from this earth and they do not defile their body with a woman. Woman is not a real woman. Woman is the world system and the world. So they are holy, they are chosen, and they are singing a new song. And they singing that song, nobody understands that song. So that means, just like you're speaking in tongue, nobody understands your tongue. St. Paul says, I can sing in a tongue also. We see these 144,000 ministers, they are following Christ everywhere he goes. That's why I said these 24 elders, they are bowing down and throwing their crowns and worshiping him day and night. So ministers, New Testament church ministers, they will be sitting on the throne beside Jesus Christ and we will be in the heaven. In the Bible, we have 5 different crowns. If you remember, I made the CD about the crowns. So we have different crowns. These 24 elders, they have only one kind of crown. So from that, you know, those 24 elders are not the same New Testament church ministers. Another thing you will be hearing, all the preachers will be saying to you, 144,000 ministers who are sealed, chosen from Israeli nations, those people will be evangelists at that particular time. Sounds good, but they will be not evangelists. As I told you, they will be protected for 3.5 years. Secretly, they will be not preaching. If they were preaching, 144,000 evangelists, you know why people saying that, all the ministers? Because hundreds and thousands of people were saved and martyrs, and they were without numbers. That's what people thinking. Who give the message to these people? Maybe there's 144,000. No, those 144,000 were secretly hiding themselves. Because the word of God says there was a famine, not for food, famine of the word of God. If 144,000 preachers are preaching, how will be the famine? So they are not preaching this. And you'll see angels are coming from heaven and preaching. Don't take the number. If you take it, you will be doomed forever. And so angels are coming and giving the gospel and preaching the word of God. And you saw the first 3.5 years, 2 ministers will be there. And there are also confusion. Some people say Elijah and Moses. But I believe Enoch and Elijah, because Moses is already dead. So once to die after that judgment. So the Moses is already dead. So you cannot kill Moses twice. So that is not my subject right now. But the point I'm making here, all these 12 bulls looking outward means there are 4 corners of the world, east, west, south, north, and everywhere they're looking. So that means not only they are taking the burden to preach the gospel and baptize them, we have to go to the uttermost part of the world and preach. Now there are so many people preaching simple gospel. They don't preach about water baptism. That some people are saying, you know, there is not enough water, so how can you baptize people? That's why we just take the little bit water and baptize. I said to those people, God made three parts water and one part land. You cannot tell me there is no enough water to baptize. If there is a saying, if there is a will, there is a way. I used to take people for baptism 10, 15, 20 miles and go and baptize them. The Word of God is saying we have God-given burden. First evangelist went out is Philip. After that, Peter. And God chose Paul specially for Gentiles. We already studied in the book of Acts. Philip went to Samaria, preached the gospel. Many people got saved. Demonic force was there, and their soothsayer also got saved and baptized. But at that time, those people were baptized, got healed and delivered, but they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a very good point to tell somebody. Some people said, once we are saved, we are already filled with the Holy Spirit. When we baptize, we fill with the Holy Spirit automatically. And give them example about Samaria. They were baptized, but they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter and John has to go and lay hand on them, and they have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So the point I'm making, people in Jerusalem, they did not want to go out. The Peter was called by Cornelius, and he went to his house, but God convinced him and gave him the vision. Finally, he understood the vision was going to Gentiles. When he goes to Gentiles and people got saved and baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongue, but when he goes to Jerusalem, that is in chapter 11, Acts chapter 11, those people start accusing him. Why did you baptize Gentiles? They did not have the vision that God called them to go to uttermost part of the world. Because Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says so. When you receive the power, the Holy Spirit, you should be witnessing in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. They did not understand. That's where the persecution came. If the Paul was not persecuting these people, they will never go out of Jerusalem. But because of persecution, they went out and started spreading the gospel. So all these bulls are looking outward. So each and every corner of the world, we have to go and preach the gospel. And we should not be just preaching the simple gospel, preach the full gospel. Burden is on their shoulder that the water, so they cannot forget the water we need for water baptism. There are people are preaching the gospel, but they are not preaching the full gospel. So what is the difference between other churches and full gospel? Full gospel, they are preaching salvation, water baptism, Holy Spirit, holy living, second coming of Christ, and many other things. But the other people, some people say, if you are born again, that's enough. Salvation is enough. The Word of God says, if you want to go to heaven, what do? Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved and your household. So just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But even the Saint Paul says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved in your household. What happened? The man takes him to his house and then Paul baptized him and all his family. So it's not only believing, water baptism is important. But Salvation Army people, they do not give you water baptism, they do not give you communion, and they do not talk about Holy Spirit. So the point I'm making, we have a burden to preach the gospel, the full gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. When you read about this in details, it'll take a long, long time. It's a big subject, and each and every item you read about in the tabernacle or temple, they represent Christ or they point to Christ. Hiram was the king of Tyre and he supplied all the stuff. But this time he called another man. His name is Huram. And people get confused, Hiram and Huram. But this is Huram is not a king. This man was born to a Jewish lady. Now the Jewish lady was married before with a Jewish man, but he died, so she married man from Tyre. And this is the son. This man was very famous in carving and metal work. And so Solomon requested him, could you come and do the job? And so he willingly came, and all this design he did, all these pillars and all these cars and all this sea, all the items inside, the tables and lamps and everything he designed. Solomon built the temples, all these articles. Everything God does to teach us something, how God makes beautiful temple and puts all these beautiful things in the temple. We are the temple of God, and God has put all these blessings and all these talents inside of us so we can use them one by one. Do you know when you receive the Holy Spirit, you get all 9 gifts together? Some people say, oh, Bible says one person get the tongue, or one person get the faith, and one person gets the... That is not the way the God says. God gives the gift liberally. God is not a stingy God. He gives all those 9 gifts, comes in a package. One day that Reinhard Bonnke was giving an example. He said, all these 9 gifts, like a carpenter or plumber, put all these tools in a one bag. And when he goes for work, he doesn't take only hammer or chisel, he takes the whole bag, because he doesn't know what tool he will be needing there. The same way that God has given us all this treasure in this earthen vessel, we are so precious in the sight of God. So we got all this talent, all these 9 gifts. So you carry all those gifts with you wherever you go. And God will use those gifts in a certain time. God has given me all these 9 gifts, and I was able to use all those 9 gifts one by one, that as the time permits. Sometimes some people use one gift all the time, and that gifts become more precious in their life. But God has given everything. And if you read in the last 7 chapter, in the last paragraph, he says, when all the temple was built, then he took all these small items and all the gold his father saved and all the silver, and they took it and put it in the treasury in the temple. So that means, he said, the word of God says, bring all the tithes and offerings to your storehouse. Our talent, our money, our strength, whatever it is for the glory of God. Salvation, it is your duty to proclaim. St. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That gives you power to preach. Because when you are in Christ, you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all the gifts and everything in treasure, and you should be shining, you should be doing more things for the Lord. Why God saved us? Because we have to save others. If we are saved and we are not going and telling others, we are not using the God-given talents. All these 12 bulls looking outside, bearing the burden and giving the witness that we are bearing the burden of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Shall we rise? Let not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is building this beautiful temple. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. We are the temple of the living God. And Jesus Christ lives in us. Let us go and tell somebody what Christ has done for us. Lord Jesus, give us that holy boldness. We commit ourselves into our loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. and amen. Please be seated.